Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 5 through 15, and then also 40 through 42. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment. Give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy. Let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Whoever welcomes you, welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. A word from the gospel this morning.
So obviously today's text is a story about learning to travel light in the world. When Jesus sends you out, you're literally going with nothing but the clothes on your back, and you notice no shoes. So I guess he didn't know at the TSA pre-check or the TSA checkpoints, when you take them off, they do give them back. They won't let you on the plane without them. I guess not in Jesus' day. So this is big stuff right now: downsizing, decluttering, learning to live simply. We've made a whole industry out of it lately. And I've thought of some stories right here in the congregation as I was putting this sermon together. I think of our dear friend Chris, who's trying to close out a house here in California, make a move to Texas, and probably going to live in a much smaller space, and trying to figure out what do you get rid of and what do you keep. And if you've ever been in that situation, you can know the dilemma that she's in. I thought of our friend Michael Okamura. Unfortunately, he's not here to hear this. He went off to teach, who's taking 11 of us to Japan. And he's already warned us that we can't come with these huge suitcases for 10 days, that he expects us to travel very lightly. He says, everywhere we go, you're going to be responsible for dragging your own bag, and it's going to go up and down train steps and train platforms and up and down stairs and rolling down city streets and town roads. And he said, you better pack light because you're carrying your own bag. So I thought about Mike when I put this sermon together and his challenge, because that's going to be a real challenge for me. And in April, Rob and I had the opportunity to hear Rick Steves speak. Some of you know the travel guru. And he was talking about how he has learned to travel light in the world. So you go home and apply this measurement to your suitcase and see how you do. He recommends that you learn to travel at least for a month with a suitcase that is no larger than 22 inches by 14 inches by 9 inches. That's about the size of what you see people trying to cram into those overhead bins, and they don't quite fit, and they shove, and they maneuver, and finally the flight attendants have to come by and bang the thing down to get it to lock. That's, by the way, the only suitcase he sells on his website. So you think about how you're traveling light these days as we think about the disciples and how they were sent out into the world. So you know, I hope, when it said these 12, that we're referring to the group that you know as the disciples. Because right before we start at verse 5, the first four verses of chapter 10 of Matthew's gospel gives us their names. Because Jesus hadn't identified yet all 12 of them. He's picked some fishermen and a tax collector, but now we've got the complete group, and he's ready to put them to work. You also know them by another title besides disciples, and they're known as apostles. That better fits today's story because the word apostle literally means to be sent out, to be sent out into the world. Disciples are merely students, but apostles are people who are sent out into the world to proclaim the good news and to do God's work. So these 12 have now been commissioned as apostles, and they're ready to be sent. And as Jesus prepares them, he said, by the way, you're going to pack very lightly. You have to leave your bag behind, so no suitcase. You try to take a trip without a suitcase and see how far you get. He says, you can't take any money with you. You have to leave your silver and gold and bronze behind. So all those credit cards you've got in your wallets, try to travel without those and see how far you get. He says, most of you walk around with two tunics. He's talking about the kind of robe like I wear, which most people wore then, and then they had an outer wrap on top of it, similar in style. The second one you had to take off and leave behind. And he says, no belt. So I guess, you know, this has to go. And you have to leave your staff behind, which not only was to help you walk, it was also your means of defense. And leave your shoes behind. Now, I think you've got a funny picture of these 12 apostles running out into the world almost naked to go do their work. And imagine if one of them showed up at your door. And you're thinking, my God, how did you get here? Yeah, you came with nothing. And you're probably wondering, I don't know if I want to let them in because they're going to need a lot because they absolutely have nothing, and that's what Jesus does with these 12. Now, what Matthew doesn't tell us is their response to all of this. I would love to hear the in-between the lines of this story. I don't know if they were brave enough to say it to Jesus, but I'm sure they looked at each other and said, is he kidding? He really wants us to go out like this? Has he lost his mind, and what does he want us to do? He's just picked them. It's clear in the text they haven't had any preparation, any training whatsoever, and he's sending them out into the world to do exactly what he does. He says, I want you to go preach. I want you to go tell the good news to somebody else, somebody who has never heard it. What you've just heard, I expect you to go and share. And you're going to do the work that I do. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to raise the dead. You're going to cure the lepers. Can you imagine being told that? They said, could we practice first? And then, where does he send them? This is the interesting part of the text that you might have missed. He said, I'm not sending you out to the Gentiles. That's those other people. And I'm not sending you to the Samaritans. Those are Jews who don't make the cut. I'm sending you to my people, your people. I'm sending you out to places where you're known, to folks who look like you and worship like you and eat like you and act like you and maybe even dress like you. I'm sending you out to familiar places where hopefully you'll be welcomed and received, right? When I thought about that part of the sermon, I thought back to my childhood when I had to sell items for school or scouts. Where did you go first? Your family. Where did you go next? The neighbors. Then finally, you might have gone out further into your neighborhood where you didn't have a clue who lived there and knocked on your door, but you figured the easiest sell was going to be right at home, right? With people who know you. Jesus was pretty smart here. If I'm going to get you to go do this work, I'm going to at least send you out where you got some chance of success. And we assume that off they went. To be sent out by God into the world to do their work. And I have to think to myself, how willing were they? And so that raises the question I want to bring to you today, because we have to enter this story somewhere. How willing are you to go out into the world and do this work? Choir just sang a beautiful anthem for you about Jesus calling us. Not just beautiful words, there's meat to that message. Every one of us are in this room because Jesus has called us here, has called us out, has called us forth to do ministry. He didn't just call you to come sit in a nice, cool place on a warm day and sing some songs and have some prayers. He called you to go and do some work. This is just a resting point. This is just a place to get prepared to go and do the work that each one of us is called to do. And you're probably sitting there thinking like those disciples as Joe lost his mind. Are we really ready to go do this? He hadn't trained us very well. What are we expected to say and do when we get out there in the world? Well, I'm going to tell you exactly what Jesus did and why he did it. He didn't tell you to go to the four corners of the earth, to some far place where you don't know the language and the customs and the culture. Yes, some people are sent there, but you're not. Where does he send you? To the same place he sent the first 12 apostles, sent you home. Sent you back out into your town, your village, your community, your place of work, your place of recreation, your place where you are known. That's where he sends you to do your work. And what do you have to take with you? Not a thing. You don't need to be armed with Bibles under each arm or gospel tracts. Or hymnals to sing the hymns. You don't need to take the church bylaws and the last set of annual minutes and meeting notes. You simply take a story. Your story. Your story of what God has done in your life. That's the good news that you go and tell to these friends and neighbors and loved ones that you know that you're going to spread this good news. And don't burden yourself down with all the stuff you got to carry with you. Travel light on this journey. And who will receive you? Those people who are ready, who are willing, who are open, who are waiting. Now, not everybody's going to receive you, and that's fine. Just move on. If you try to share some piece of your good news and it's not received, just pick up and go. Shake the dust off your feet, he said. Notice, not your shoes, because remember, they ain't wearing them. Shake the dust off your feet and move on. So why do we make this so hard? Why do we come up with all of our excuses? Oh, we can wait till tomorrow. Or the church hadn't prepared me yet. I can't go and do this till next month. Or I'm too uncomfortable doing this. You are an apostle. An apostle of Jesus. One waiting to now be sent. And what are you going to do? Well, you may not be able to raise the dead. we've taken care of leprosy, so I don't know that you're going to run into too many of them to have to cure. Heal the sick. Some of us do that in the work we do, but not all of us. Think what Jesus is trying to say there. You're just going to meet the needs of the world, because those were the needs of the world in his day. What are the needs we're going to meet? Perhaps our friends and neighbors who stand on those street corners with signs that say hungry. Can you help? Maybe the people that we need to go are the lonely people locked away in isolation because they have no circle of family or friends. And they're yearning desperately for a warm touch and a kind word. Someone who will break through their loneliness and become a friend. Maybe it will be the person that comes to us and says, I need a safe place to sleep, and we give her permission to park her car in our parking lot so she can be safe at night. I think this is the kind of thing that Jesus is sending us forth to do. Maybe it's the person like Barbara mentioned, whom she just met, shared her concerns, and Barbara said, I will pray for you. And that person was a bit taken aback that someone would even stop and do that, just to offer a prayer or a word of encouragement. Or just simply say, do you know how much you are loved? And then share why. This is the work we are called to do. This is our ministry. Let us go and be those apostles for today. Are you willing? Amen.